financial help for individuals and businesses in the face of COVID-19. New unemployment claims released this morning paint a bleak picture. More than 1 in 10 American workers has lost their job due to the coronavirus pandemic. In Maine, more than 30,000 unemployment claims were filed just last week, bringing the state's total to more than 76,000. Maine's system was so overwhelmed it crashed over the weekend. There have also been troubles with the Small Business Administration's ability to process loans. I'm Jennifer Rooks. As lenders and agencies scramble to fix options and help those affected by the economic shutdown, people have lots of questions. Maine's commissioners of labor and economic and community development explain what they're doing to get people the money they need as quickly as possible and to answer your questions. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The coronavirus pandemic has brought about economic disruption and hardship throughout the state. Today, we're going to find out what avenues are available for help for workers who have been laid off, fear being laid off, and business owners who have questions about where to turn for help in this time of need. Returning to our program today, Heather Johnson, who is Commissioner of Maine's Department of Economic and Community Development, and Laura Fortman, Commissioner of the State Department of Labor. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
As always, we want to hear from you in the audience. Have you lost your job or had to shutter your business? Are you trying to apply for unemployment insurance or have questions about state or federal programs? You can share your stories and questions by email, a brief email, please, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Commissioner Fortman, Laura, I'll start with you. I know that Thursdays are the days that the new numbers come out, and they are pretty dramatic this week. Tell me what you're seeing at the Department of Labor.
Yeah, they are dramatic. I mean, every week we're coming up with record-breaking numbers of initial claims. This week we had almost 31,000 initial claims, well, last week for the week ending April 4th, and then an additional 41,300 weekly claims. So a total of 72,000 claims were processed last week. The good news is over $10 million in benefits went out to laid off workers.
And these numbers are leading up to April 4th. Are you seeing this week the same pace as the week before?
Yeah, we're seeing similar call volumes. Again, we won't know until next Thursday, but things have not eased off. We've put in place a couple of mechanisms for dealing with high call volumes. Last week, we had over 250,000 calls on Monday, which crashed the telephone system. And so this week we've asked people to comply with calling on Monday if their last name begins with an A through H, Tuesday I through Q, Wednesday R through Z. Maine people are incredibly willing to kind of pitch in and help out, and folks did comply with that. And so the call volume was down to only 50,000 calls on Monday, Tuesday each, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Although we were unable to get to all of those callers, that volume was something that the system could handle, so we were able to keep the phone system up and running this week and able to respond to questions.
Is that kind of system going to continue? For example, you said R through Z was yesterday. What about today?
Today, anyone can call in, as well as tomorrow. So if for whatever reason you weren't able to call in on your assigned day, Thursdays and Fridays we left open for anyone.
All right. Heather, I want to talk to you about businesses that are either closing or furloughing their workers or having their workers take a pay cut. What is available to them right now?
So for businesses, there are a couple of new programs as part of the federal package. They run through the SBA, so the Small Business Administration, One of them is the Paycheck Protection Program, and that allows people basically to borrow money to be used for payroll and some other costs of doing business, but it is primarily intended for people to be able to continue their payroll. And to the extent that people and businesses have the same number of full-time equivalents at the end of June, they would that loan would be forgiven. So it's, again, intended to keep people connected to their businesses, keep people working in safe ways, in a safe way as possible. Additionally to that, there is the Small Business Economic Injury Disaster Loans. Those are up to $2 million in assistance, and those can be used a little bit more flexibly. But that is a loan. They do have long-term repayments, and there is a deferment up front. Additionally to that, now businesses and nonprofits would be eligible to up to $10,000 of grant funding. So, and I want to make sure that nonprofits, if there are any listening, recognize many of them are also eligible for these programs, and so it's a good path for them to review as well.
I understand there's been some questions or some changing regulations that, for example, the CARE Act was going to allow these loans, the Paycheck Protection Program loans, to be paid back over a much longer time period than looks like is now going to be the case. What do you know about the changing regulations?
I think the intention is really that the Paycheck Protection Program, the intent is that those will be forgivable loans and that people will be on the payroll and meet those requirements. The remainder of the funding that would have to be paid back, to the extent either people that don't have enough full-time equivalents or that they use some of that funding for things other than payroll, because up to 25% of that funding can be used for things other than payroll, those have very low interest rates, like 0.5%, and that is a little bit shorter period of time than maybe was originally aligned.
Are there companies for which that's going to be hard to hit, that 75% of their loan would be used for payroll? I'm thinking of a manufacturer who uses a lot of energy, or maybe a restaurant in downtown Portland that pays a high rent.
Well, 75% of the money, of the funding they take for that particular program, needs to be spent on payroll. There are other avenues people can access operating capital in as well. It's that money, the 75% is only aligned to the funding you take from that particular program.
I want to ask you all about, I understand that a lot of this is going through people's, and I'll turn back to you, Heather, for this. What are you hearing from Maine's banks? This, a lot of the loan programs are going through the lenders that companies are already working with, but there seem to be inconsistencies from bank to bank.
Yeah, so the lending institutions had about a week to put together a program aligned to these two federal supported SBA programs. And that's a really short turnaround time for banks under normal circumstances. And what we believe to be true is by Monday, every bank in Maine, all the primary lending institutions in Maine, were able to take applications for this program, and we're starting to be able to receive approvals, which is an incredibly short turnaround time. I will tell you, I was getting calls from banks over the weekend. I was going by a couple of banks in the parking lots. You could tell the back end operations folks were in there, and if you called them, they were putting in applications because they are so passionate about making sure these small businesses get access to this capital because it's so important.
All right. Laura, I want to turn back to you. If and when someone is able to get through, whether it's online or via phone, to apply for unemployment compensation, how long until one can expect to see a check?
So online, hopefully folks should not have any problem accessing the online system. If they do, it's probably related to their bandwidth at home, but the program itself is up running 24 hours a day, and it usually will take 10 days to 2 weeks in order for someone to be determined eligible and to receive their benefits. It's important to know that even with some of the new federal programs dealing with unemployment insurance, that there are multiple partners in this. anyone, if a claimant files for unemployment insurance, typically you have to have lost your job through no fault of your own. You need to be able to work, available for work, and looking for work. During this pandemic, some of those rules, there's increased flexibility about, but when you apply, you still need to, there's a process where we reach out to employers, and employers need to confirm some of the data, such as the reason for the separation and perhaps some of the wage data if there's inconsistency with the records that we have on file.
I'm looking at your webpage right now, the Maine Department of Labor, the Bureau of Unemployment Compensation, and there's a note that says, if you are self-employed or have not exhausted all available benefits, please wait to file. Federal benefits are not yet available, but they are coming. Is that still accurate, and when do you expect them to be coming?
That is accurate, and as Commissioner Johnson pointed out, some of these new programs were included in the CARES Act, and we received unemployment insurance is also a federal-state partnership, and so Congress passed the legislation, turned that legislation over to the U.S. Department of Labor to develop guidelines for implementing the three new unemployment insurance programs. We received those guidelines from the U.S. Department of Labor for two of those programs by Sunday night, and we are in the process of scoping out the requirements now so that we can implement the programs. The three programs are an additional $600 in benefits, a program that pandemic unemployment assistance, which will cover self-employed people who have exhausted their benefits through other programs, 1099s, people who may not have had enough earnings to qualify for traditional unemployment insurance. And then the third program is a pandemic emergency unemployment compensation that would extend benefits for an additional 13 weeks. We have not received any guidance on that 13-week extension yet. We are planning to phase in the other programs, and the one that we have the most clarity around is the $600 per week. So we're in a testing phase now on that program.
All right. Well, I'm going to start and go to some of the questions that have come in because so many are coming in. We'll start with James, who has a question on Facebook. I applied for an SBA EIDL loan before March 25th when their system crashed. Now I'm being told my application may be lost altogether. I'm also reading articles saying that the early SBA loan application may have been unsecured and exposed my personal and business information, and I can't get answers from the SBA on this. Can someone please look into it? I know the system is overwhelmed, but the lack of communication is unacceptable. I know, Heather, that you do not represent the Small Business Administration, but I also know you've been working really tight, closely with them. What can you tell James?
We certainly have, and James, I apologize. I don't know your specific situation. Obviously, there have been some changes in the application, and in general, those are getting transferred into the new application, and it's a fairly streamlined process. I will say the volume, though, with the volume that they've been handling, it's very possible that there are challenges or could be potential challenges. This is one maybe that what I would say is if you go to your lending institution, they would be the best place to know kind of the status of your current lending. And if that doesn't work, if you give our department a call, we can try to help facilitate that as well.
I'll go to Eileen also on Facebook. I tried to complete an application for unemployment on the line starting March 23rd when I was laid off. The system will not allow me to complete the application. Partway through, I get the message, quote, due to the response to some of the questions, your claim is being held in this pending status. Contact the MDOL call center. However, it doesn't matter how many times I tried calling. I can never get through. What if I don't reach anybody for a month while I actually get unemployment going back to the day I was laid off on March 23rd? Commissioner Fortman.
Yes, if you are eligible, you will go back to the date of the separation from your job. And it does sound like you're going to need to talk to a claims representative. I'm not sure if you've tried putting a question or a comment in the customer messaging portal on the homepage for the Department of Labor. There's an option that says Contact Us. If you click on that, it will allow you to put a question in there and a comment in there, and that will trigger a process for us to reach back out to you. I know it's a long wait, and it's time that we would, of course, prefer to get you your benefits sooner. But by putting a message into the customer service portal, someone will reach out to you. You can also continue to call us. We are adding additional staff, and we should have a Maine-based contact center online next week to be able to expand our capacity to handle phone calls.
All right, we'll go to Elizabeth, who's calling from Winthrop. Hi, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi, I applied for an SBA loan the day the governor made the announcement that we were under emergency, and I got a response saying that my application was being reviewed, so that was good, received and reviewed. And then I got another response saying, we need you to fill out this other form in order to get a $10,000 advance on your loan. My question is the SBA going to be directly giving people money, or do you have to go through a bank? Because I'd read that because of the volume of applications for SBA loans, that they may consider directly lending to the borrowers.
Jennifer. Yeah, at this point, we are still working through lending institutions, local lending institutions.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks for your call. And we will move to Leah calling from Brunswick. Hi, Leah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because my partner, who is a lobsterman, has been out of work because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we're waiting for guidelines about applying for independent contractors and self-employed people. We're wondering if he can expect to receive benefits from the state on top of the $600 from the federal government, or if he'll only be able to receive that $600 a week for 13 weeks.
So the $600 is actually not a freestanding program. The $600 is given in addition to it sounds like your partner would be qualifying for the pandemic unemployment assistance program, and that will have a monetary determination. And one of the pieces that we're scoping out now is what kind of documentation will be required to establish that monetary eligibility. And then whatever that amount is, the $600 would be on top of that. And to just give you a sense of weekly benefits in Maine, go from about $177 a week to the maximum is $445 a week. So his pandemic unemployment assistance, which is one of the federal programs, would be somewhere in that range. And then the additional $600 would be on top of that.
Leah, good luck to you. We're talking with the commissioners of the Department of Labor and the Department of Economic and Community Development on Maine Calling today. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Breakwater in Portland, offering summer day camp programs for kids ages 3 to 18. Registration at enrichment.breakwaterlearning.org. Maine Farmland Trust, growing a bright future for farming and for Maine. Dig in at mainefarmlandtrust.org. And St. Lawrence Arts in Portland, expressing solidarity with Maine's arts community during this challenging time. stlawrencearts.org.
COVID-19 has changed daily life in the United States, and with news breaking by the hour, it can be hard to stay up to date. I'm Michelle Martin. Join us every weekday for a new live conversation about the disease, what you need to know, what's coming next, and we will answer your questions. The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.
And that's tonight at 9 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Trusted news, quality entertainment, and lifelong learning is what Maine Public Television is all about, four channels strong. We've made some adjustments to provide more daytime educational fare from science to history programming for the older kids who find themselves home during this time of social distancing. We have the PBS Kids channel for preschool kids, but our main channel just added more afternoon programming for older learners, starting now at 1:30 each afternoon. And the Maine Public World channel is now doing the same each weekday afternoon from 12 to 5. Television programming that is worthwhile and educational to watch. See the schedule for our Maine HD and World channels at mainepublic.org. Click on the television dropdown.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, dealing with the economic fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic. My guests are Laura Fortman, Maine's Commissioner of the Department of Labor, and Heather Johnson, Commissioner of the Department of Economic and Community Development. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Laura, a lot of questions coming in about that $600. I'll read a couple of them for you. This is from Sarah. I had reduced hours the weeks of March 22nd and 29th. Now I'm completely out of work. But when I filed both the week of the 22nd and 29th, when I had reduced hours, my claims came back with, quote, excessive earnings because my gross earnings were more than the weekly benefit amount. I thought the federal government was adding $600 to everyone's claims. My weekly benefit is $350, but I made $500 without the reduced hours. Why did I not get the extra $600, and are they retroactive? And then another question. Oh, gosh, my screen just jumped around. There it is. Andrea on Facebook said, wondering if anybody could tell me about the $600 additional money for unemployment, and is it going to be taxed? So, let's start with Sarah's question and benefits for the March.
Okay. So as I said earlier, and I appreciate that this is confusing, that $600 is only available to people who are otherwise eligible for one of the unemployment insurance programs. So you need to be eligible for either state unemployment, and the caller went through exactly what happens. You look at your earnings. The maximum weekly benefit is $445. So if you earn more than that amount, you will not be eligible for a benefit that week. If, let's say, she said something about her weekly benefit is normally $350, so if she is eligible for that $350 a week and she meets all of the other criteria for unemployment insurance, she will receive that $350 plus the $600 from the federal pandemic unemployment compensation program. That $600 program is the one that we've received guidance on. We're in the process of testing to get to an implementation phase. Once we get to that phase, anyone who was eligible for unemployment from March 29th, if they've already have a claim with us from March 29th, the $600 would be retroactive to the weeks between March 29th and now. The reason for March 29th is that is the date that that program became law and was signed into law, and so that's the effective date of that piece of the program. It's also a program that is only available until July 25th. So that $600 is not for a regular 26-week time frame. It is specifically for COVID-19 related, and Congress put a very tight time frame on it, March 29th, 2020 to July 25th, 2020. And then your other caller asked if it was taxable, and yes, unemployment benefits, including this $600, will be taxable.
And Commissioner Fortman, you mentioned that this is for people who have already qualified. Under the CARE Act, the people who qualify, the definition of who qualifies has changed and been expanded. Does the $600 payment only go to those who qualify under the old definition or the old qualification for unemployment compensation, or is this for everybody now?
Right. This would be for everyone now. You have to qualify for one of the unemployment programs. So whether it's regular state unemployment insurance or whether it's the pandemic emergency unemployment compensation or the pandemic unemployment assistance program. And I appreciate that this is confusing. We do have a chart up on our website that gives a top-line overview of each of these programs and then an ability to kind of drill down into each of them as well. And since the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, so this is the one that we think about for self-employed, people who may not be monetarily eligible for regular state unemployment, that program went into effect February 2nd of 2020 and lasts until December 31st of 2020. But again, for that program, you need to have a COVID-19-related separation.
And just to be clear, no one in Maine has received that $600 yet. You're still trying to figure out some policy around that, but those who have not and do qualify will receive it retroactively.
That is accurate, and these funds, although they are available and states have all entered into it. No states have these programs up and running yet. We're all trying our best to get them up as quickly as possible.
Okay, we're going to go to Barry, who's calling from Rockport. Hi, Barry, go ahead.
Hi. Even though thousands of people have been able to get through to your department for the last 3 weeks, I have just not, either online or by telephone. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah. I think, thank you for continuing to try. There are two things I would say. One is if you have a computer and can send us a message on that customer service portal, the Contact Me on our homepage, we are working through all of those calls, and it may take us a little while, but we will get to you. Also, we are adding more people on the phones. So I'm hoping it'll be easier to get through on phones next week.
All right, Barry, good luck to you. We're going to go to Charlie, who's calling from Gray. Hi, Charlie. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi there. I run a service industry business, and so we are indefinitely closed. We've gone from 42 full and part-time employees to two. But I have qualified for the Paycheck Protection Program loan. My question is about offering it, and does it affect employee unemployment eligibility? Because I know all of my full-time staff are making, $350 to $450 on unemployment, and when they add the additional $600, you're talking $1,050 a week. Some of them will make more than that if they come back under the Paycheck Protection Program. But I didn't know if I offered my full-time staff to come back, even though there's no work, would that affect their eligibility, because I certainly don't want them to make less money coming back.
Charlie, that's a really good question, and I'm sure a lot of people share that question. Heather Johnson, I'll turn to you.
Actually, that's probably a question for Commissioner Fortman, because it relates to the amount of earnings people can have. Laura, do you want to take that one?
Sure. So if you are asking someone to come, first of all, going back to some changes that were made in unemployment insurance by the Maine legislature, they recognized that these were challenging times. And so normally somebody has to have lost their job through no fault of their own. They have to be able to work, available for work, and looking for work. We have waived the work search portion of that during this crisis. And one of the reasons we did it was under the condition that employees would stay connected to their employer. So, for example, you, if you have work next week and you reach out to any of those employees and offer them work, they are required to accept any suitable offer of work. If they decide to decline that, we would look at whether or not they had good cause in order to decline that offer of going back to work. So it would involve a fact-finding between you and the employee to determine if there was good cause to deny that work. If they did work, then if you're working reduced hours, you may be eligible for a partial unemployment benefit, but you need to report all of those earnings on your weekly certification form. If you are working full-time, you're not unemployed, so you would not be eligible for unemployment insurance.
This sounds like a tricky situation for a lot of employers.
Mm-hmm. And for employees. I think that these are complicated programs. I think they were put in place to help people through a tough time that should hopefully be temporary. And as I had said earlier, this additional $600 benefit is very time limited and is not available after July 25th, 2020.
I imagine many companies are trying to decide whether to furlough workers or to take the out these loans and pay them. And crunching some numbers.
Absolutely. I think businesses are really trying to think about what is the best equation for their employees and long-term for their business and frankly, short-term for their business. Keeping employees connected to these businesses is critical. At the same time, I think business owners are very practical about what may be the best, as you just heard and from the last caller, what is the best thing for their employees. Too, right? And so there is always a balance that people are working through.
We'll go from to Paul, who's calling from the Newport area. Hi, Paul, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, so
yes.
I have a question to ask. I filed online last week in March, and I haven't been able to get through online with the email or through phone. But anyways, my question is, I get a message that says, you do not have an active claim, but I have a claimant number. What does that mean? Is the first question I have.
Commissioner Fortman?
I'm here. I'm not sure without seeing it. Have you submitted a question through the customer messaging portal?
Yes, I have, and I've not heard back. And they said not to do it more than once because it'll overwhelm them. So I'm just waiting to hear since March.
And the date for that, because we are working through them from oldest to most recent. So
it was like, I think March 28th or something. It was the last week of March. But I have a claimant number. Is that like a good sign? Or I just don't know if I need to file again.
Have you been filing your, if you have a claimant number, you've created an account, correct?
Yes.
Online. Okay.
Yeah.
So, when you go online and there's a correspondence file in there, is that where you're seeing the inactive?
Wherever I try to see claim status or anything checking on it, the message comes back, you do not have an active claim.
Okay.
But it shows my claimant number and Social Security number.
Okay. And one more question. Did you file a weekly certification since then?
It doesn't let me do that either because it says you do not have an active claim. I can't do anything with that message.
Okay, and you did try filing a weekly claim the following week?
Yeah, when I try to do anything with it every day, I checked since March, and it keeps saying you do not have an active claim. So I'm trying to keep calling to find out why is that. I have a claimant number, but no active claim. And I filled it all properly. I even checked off that little box that says COVID, you know, as a reason. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I just need to know, like,
right.
Is it active? Am I getting anything happening from it?
If it says inactive, that doesn't sound, I would have to have a claims rep talk to you. Have you tried contacting the Career Center?
I've called and sent messages.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to help.
Okay. I was just curious if I was getting that.
No, but I want you to, if you are positive that you have something in the customer message portal, is that correct?
Yes, I sent a message, you know, where it allows you to send a message or a note, and
okay.
I wrote my claimant number. I wrote exactly the message I'm getting, my phone number, so...
Okay, and can you just give me your first name again?
Paul.
Okay, Paul, and you're in Rockland?
Newport area.
Newport, okay.
Yeah.
Paul, good luck to you. And I know a lot of people are feeling really frustrated right now. I appreciate you calling into Maine Calling. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Dead River Company. Committed to keeping Maine's homes and businesses warm and proud to be part of celebrating Maine's bicentennial, deadriver.com. And the University of Maine, where world-class research and education create global impact with local relevance, Maine's Research University at Work. On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
On April 9, 2013, the North Pond hermit Christopher Knight was caught in a surveillance trap while looking for supplies at a camp for people with special needs. Aged 47, Knight lived like a hermit in the woods for 27 years between 1986 and 2013 in the North Pond area of Maine's Belgrade Lakes. Knight may be responsible for more than 1,000 burglaries for food and other staples in the area. When he was finally arrested and his identity disclosed, Christopher Knight became the subject of media frenzy.
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of DN Wealth Advisors and the Maine Seacoast Mission. Happy birthday, Maine.
I'm Marco Werman. Preparation, as you know, is job one when you're anticipating a crisis. Same goes for our newsroom at The World. Our reporters and producers are following events in every time zone. Their contacts include doctors, epidemiologists, and public policy experts. They deal in the facts that can help us live through a pandemic. Be prepared. Be informed. Listen to The World.
And The World is this afternoon at 3 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're talking with state commissioners to learn about how people can get help with their financial troubles. Joining me, Heather Johnson with the Department of Economic and Community Development and Laura Fortman with the Department of Labor. Join our conversations at 1-800-399-3566. If you hurry, you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. An email from Laurel. My husband and I own a small business. We are registered as a partnership. We are the only employees. We have applied for an EIDL and are in the process of applying for a PPP loan in hopes of paying ourselves. We're not sure if we're eligible for unemployment as self-employed individuals under the expanded eligibility of the CARES Act. We have never paid into unemployment and have heard that because of this, we are not eligible. Is this true? Also, if we receive the EIDL and or the PPP loan, are then we not eligible to also apply for unemployment? And I'm going to ask you, Commissioner Johnson, the EIDL, that's the disaster loan?
That is the emergency injury disaster loan. That's correct. And that program can be used for, you know, payroll as well as kind of other debt that you may have, mortgage, rent, things like that, any operating expense.
And what about the PPP loan?
So the PPP loan is really is that Paycheck Protection Loan, Paycheck Protection Program. So 75% of the money that you would take out of that program would have to go to payroll. Some businesses, depending on how, if you own your own business, depending on how you pay yourself, because you might take earnings disbursement, which is a different answer than if you pay yourself on a standard payroll, part of the payroll system. And those are treated a little bit differently. So that's just something to keep in mind. And I think Commissioner Fortman answered earlier about if you are being paid out of any of these programs, it equates to being paid and working.
That's correct. And the only thing that I would add is that the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program for self-employed may be eligible for that. The caller was absolutely accurate that under traditional unemployment insurance, if you are not paying into the system, either your employer is paying into it or you're a LLC and paying into it for yourself, you are not typically covered by unemployment insurance benefits.
And a similar question, this is from Katie. I'm a self-employed sole proprietor babysitter. If I apply for the payment protection loan through the SBA and get the 8 weeks of payroll, can I still file for unemployment? So the answer would be no to her, correct? But her follow-up is also, what kind of verification do I need to file for unemployment as a self-employed gig worker if I have not filed taxes yet? Laura, is the answer previous year tax returns?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at, Jennifer, and that's one of the questions that we have, which has to be resolved before we can get the program up and running. There will be a requirement to have documentation about earnings, and we're trying to determine what that can be.
An email from Mary. I was working at Portland's Jetport as a full-time airline check-in customer service agent. The last week in March, I worked less than 5 hours due to the COVID-19 effect on travel. My MDOL status is not eligible. However, I was able to claim not working online. Do I need to file an appeal, or will the CARES Act automatically update my claim? I will not be working in April or May. My employer may call me back in the summer if travel demand increases at the airport.
We're going through that and trying to determine if there's anything that we can do to take it. Sounds like not eligible. I'm assuming she was denied or he was denied benefits. One of the ways of qualifying for pandemic unemployment assistance is to be able to demonstrate that you are not eligible for state unemployment insurance. So I'd hang on to that documentation and look at what we post on the website about whether or not you need to reapply or if there's some way that we can do this retroactively for people who have already applied and been denied.
An email from Sarah. I am the advocacy director for the Maine Association of Nonprofits. I have a question related to those entities who self-insure their unemployment instead of paying into the state. Will the quarterly invoices for unemployment claims go out on time, meaning in the next week? Is there a possibility of offering a payment plan for these entities? I ask because we have organizations who are on the front lines, hospitals, food banks, child care centers, etc., who are facing down potentially huge bills through no fault of their own. The federal and state government has either shut them down or they are faced with devastating losses which they never could have anticipated when deciding to self-insure unemployment. We are seriously testing the nonprofit sector safety net, much like we tested banks in 2008. Commissioner Johnson, is this for you?
I think part of it is for me, or I'm going to take part of it if that's okay, and then I think it would be helpful to have Commissioner Fortman jump in. So, we have a lot of concern about nonprofits. I think, you know, the concept of the value that nonprofits bring to our communities is so high. And you outlined a few of them, right? Food banks, child cares, a number of other things. Lots of them have budgets, you know, in the $100,000 range, even. I think we have something like one in six Mainers work for a nonprofit. And so, One of the things that that we want to encourage nonprofits to do is look at some of these programs. I think traditionally people think of the SBA. Well, it is a Small Business Administration, but a lot of nonprofits will qualify for some of these forgivable loans and grant programs that are available right now. So we would just encourage, from our side, we just encourage folks to look at those programs. If you do run a nonprofit, look at those programs, take advantage of the opportunities that they might create for you to be able to create some stabilization for your employee base. And with that, I think Commissioner Portman, the question probably really was for you.
Yeah, no, I think that that was helpful. And again, everyone recognizes the important role that nonprofits play in the economy. When someone is a direct reimbursable, what that means is that they do not pay into the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, but their employees are covered by unemployment benefits if they lose their job through no fault of their own. And we're seeing that happening. And then the employer, since they haven't been paying those taxes into the trust fund, would be required to pay the full cost of those unemployment benefits. Congress recognized the critical role that nonprofits play, and one of the provisions in the CARES Act that has not received a lot of attention is that there is a 50% reimbursement for direct reimbursables. So instead of being liable for the 100% cost of benefits to employees who are laid off, there will be, the federal government will pay 50% of it. So the liability is only 50% for those benefits.
I'm going to go to Gail on Facebook. Is there a plan to complete a major upgrade of the unemployment site such that a breakdown of the system as we are experiencing now can be avoided in the future? Yes, this is a pandemic, but the unemployment application process has been causing frustration for a very long time.
Well, I would I think that there are a couple of components here. I would agree that our phone system is outdated and inadequate and has not been able to deal with it, with this incredible influx. And a lot of that is because the staffing levels are incredibly low. I think the actual, I'm sure it doesn't feel this way to folks here, the actual online platform for the unemployment insurance online application process has been updated, and we are not like New Jersey and some of the other states that are putting out distress calls for COBOL programmers in order to make the changes that need to be made to the system. We are not using a legacy system. It is a system that is complicated and that could definitely be more user-friendly, but the system itself has been stable and has not crashed. We're hearing from some other states who have had to go to totally paper process because their online platforms are not performing at all.
We'll go to Robert, who's calling from Sumner. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for answering my call. Say, I've been trying for a couple of weeks, trying to call the Department of Labor, and I get through sometimes, and someone's answering through a machine, gentlemen, and they ask me my Social Security number, and I write it down, and some other information. Then at the last word, they said, put your PIN number down. I don't even know what a PIN number is. So I wonder, well, how do I call up? Because every time I say, I don't know what to put down there. I put the number, the last three numbers of my name, and they just cut me off. They say, you didn't answer the question. So how can I get a PIN number without, I don't have a computer.
Okay. You don't have a computer at all?
No, I don't have a computer at all. I had one once, it bust,
yes.
And I never really got one.
Okay. I would encourage you to do one of two things. One would be to to try either calling the Career Center, because that'll be a little bit easier to get through on, and ask them to put a message into the customer service messaging portal for you, or call the, and I don't have the number right in front of me, but there's a, it's not an unemployment insurance number, it's a number for the office, and they can enter a request in the customer service portal for you. And probably if you, well, let me, Jennifer, if you wanted to move on to something else, let me just try to pull up a phone number here.
Okay. I suspect the next question will be for you as well, though, unfortunately. Let me see if I can go to another call on another line. This is Julia calling from Brunswick. Julia, go ahead. And if you could
Hi
be
there.
Quick, we're almost at the end of the program. Go ahead.
Thank you. I heard that the federal unemployment expansion to independent contractors would be available as soon as the 10th. I was wondering if that is true. I'm also wondering, as an independent contractor and cosmetologist who has had to give up my rental space but has other operating costs, would a small business loan even be realistic for somebody that doesn't have employees at a low independent contracting level? And could I use those loans for future costs? I do understand I wouldn't be able to do unemployment and the loans, but would I be able to use those loans to start another establishment? Thank you. I'll take my question off air.
All right. Commissioner Johnson, I'll start with you.
Great, Julia. Thank you for the question. And yes, you would be eligible for the economic injury disaster loans. You'd be able to apply for that. And that money can be used for fixed debts, existing kind of mortgage, any existing bills that you would have, and certainly investments you want to make going forward. I think, given what you just said at the end, I just want to make sure, though, you couldn't transition that money into a different business. So you would have to maintain the same business structure that you took the loan out in.
All right. And Commissioner Fortman, I want to come back to you. Or at the end of the program, did you have something for Robert before we say goodbye?
Sure. So if he calls 207-623-7900 and asks to have his question put into the customer message portal, that should help him.
All right. Well, thank you both of you commissioners for joining me today. And I'm so sorry I wasn't able to get to all of the questions. We will be putting all sorts of resources on the Maine Calling Facebook page and on our web page for all of you who were not able to get through. Our guests today were Commissioner Laura Fortman, Commissioner of the Department of Labor, and Heather Johnson, Commissioner of the Department of Economic and Community Development. Tomorrow on the program, the Director of Maine's CDC, Dr. Nirav Shah. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. This show will repeat tonight at 7. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.